Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the hauntings at the Mizpah Hotel with Siobhan Smith, Jesse DiMaggio, and Heather Ingalls. Now tell me about the kids, because you keep just saying the kids. Did something happen, or do you just feel that there are kids around? Like, because obviously, Jesse, when you were talking about one touching your leg and holding your hand.
Mm-hmm. They like to hold your ankles and your hands for some reason. Those now, are the two spots that they get me every single time.
And do you have any idea why there would be children there?
So the story is not confirmed. It's not anything we have any proof on. It's just another passed down story. There was another lady of the night who worked here, and she had two kids. I want to say between 7 and
fairly young.
And when she had clients, she would take them down to the basement and lock them in the icebox.
Oh, no. I see where this is going.
Yeah. And so at one time, a client ran long, or she had multiple, and she left them in the icebox for too long, and they perished. And then the other story is they fell off of their fire escape.
Yeah, so the fire escapes are iron fire escapes outside of the building, you know? So like if you had a fire, you climbed out the window down, and you'd be on a little balcony, you climb down the stairs or down the ladder and you get down to your safety. And that was fire protection back in the day, right?
And the fire escapes are literally like 24 inches wide. Like they're very tiny.
They would be there for an emergency, you know? And supposedly they were playing, one of them was out there playing and fell, and the other sibling grabbed for
tried
the other
to save it.
They fell, toppled all the way down to the ground.
Mm.
Which I feel like is more, I don't know, my personal experience, I feel like that's a little closer to reality for what happened. But again, scorned woman, scorned children, no documentation, no proof of, and no background for.
Well, and once again, any documentation probably would have been lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people experience these kids.
Yes. We have multiple guests on the third floor call us in the middle of the night saying there's kids running around. There's people banging on the walls. It sounds like somebody's in the hallway, and there's literally not a child.
Giggling up the hall, up and down the hallway on that.
Up and down the hallway.
I've literally heard guests say, well, you know, I'd had a really great stay there. My bed was comfortable. It was all good. But those children, whoever lets their children run around of all hours of the night, they're little kids. And I don't even understand why people let their kids run around like that. And, you know, and I couldn't sleep at all, you know, type of thing. And had some weird experiences like that. But myself, personally, I've worked in this building several different times when I was younger. And I never had a deal with the kids. I don't believe that at any given point did I have an experience with the children. I've seen a minor cowboy guy. I have had things,
Miss Rose,
things happen with the lady in red where she was trying to communicate with me, et cetera. I've had different ghosts. Yeah.
Elevator ghosts.
Yeah. I've had different ghosts show themselves to me or mess with me in some way. And but the kids, I never believed it. I didn't even know if I believed the story of. And then one night I was doing a tour and I had a couple from France. They had been to America several times and they spoke pretty good English. The wife spoke very good English and understood very good English. The husband was more shy about his English abilities, but he still understood pretty much all the English. And what he didn't understand, she would just translate for him. And so we were sitting up here on the third floor and we were talking about the kids. And I was telling him the story about the children and blah, blah, blah. And the conference room where we're at, which is where they're supposedly lived, was locked that night. And I didn't get to come in here, but we were standing outside of the door or sitting outside, whatever. And we had been talking. I'm like, well, you know, let's go ahead and carry on then. And so as we were talking about getting up and moving along, we heard some children laughing, you know, like if you heard two little kids playing and then it went quiet again. And when we heard those kids, all three of us heard it and we all looked at each other and we all said, oh, well, those were living children. I said, well, maybe the living children will encourage the ghost children then. And we all agreed with that. And her husband was 110% skeptic. Ghosts are not real. None of that's real. So then we went down. Then we started to walk past the conference room door. And I said, oh, geez, I forgot that's a conference room. That's not a room where people would be staying. And there's definitely not children in there. There's not even a bed.
There's nobody in here.
And there was nobody in there. And the door was locked. And we were like, her and I looked at each other like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I totally forgot that was a conference room until we started to leave. And she's like, wow, that was weird. So we went down to the front desk and we asked the guy at the front desk. I said, how many people are staying at the hotel tonight that have little kids? And he looks, he says, none. He says, it's a really quiet night. He says, it was like a Tuesday night. You know, it's a really quiet night. There's only a few people checked in general. He says, but nobody has children. So he starts scrolling. He says, actually, for like over a week, nobody's checked in with little kids. Oh.
And it was that real.
It was literally, you could hear and two little children.
Oh, we hear people or kids jumping on beds in this room sometimes, and there's not a bed in this room.
There's no bed
anymore. There's nothing but conference tables and like buffet
set up. SLS camera, I've actually seen them jumping up and down on the little couch in front of the front desk.
Wow.
Yeah. That's funny.
And then once again, like when you have a guest come down to, because that would make a lot of guests really angry with the kids running around. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing anything about it? And then when you try to explain to them, we can't do anything about that, and here's why, that has to be a really awkward conversation as well.
It is. We have multiple people who don't know that we are one of the haunted hotels in America. And they will come to the front desk and see, because since, I'd say, what, 2 years ago, they started making like the ghost merch around two, three years ago.
Yeah.
But since we started doing the tours, we've ramped it up. And like, that is our brand. We are the Ghosted Hotel. Yeah. And they come in, they see all the merch. And they say, I don't want to stay here. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the Belvada is not marketed as a haunted hotel. It's not as haunted. Everything in Tonopah is haunted, 100%. But most of the ghosts in the Bell stay in the basement. They don't come upstairs. So we send them across the street, unless they just really don't want to stay at all. And then they cancel their reservation and they move on to Vegas or Reno.
But I think that's a good idea, actually, because then they kind of know what they're getting into. And when they hear the kids all night and then the next morning they complain about it, and it's like, there's no kids.
Well, what was funny about that night with the French couple is that when we were down at the front desk and I was asking the guy behind the front desk about how many people, her and I looked at each other. And we're like, yes, that was real. That was the ghost, you know. We like high-fived. And her husband had said beforehand, he said that he's not going to believe it until he actually sees it. I said, well, you didn't see it, but you heard it just as clear as we did. So what are you thinking? Then he totally changed it. He was like, well, he looked at me and he just gave me that look like, well, I don't know.
You know, yeah, he then no he's like, now. I'll buy the
How
shirt.
How many skeptics have you changed their minds?
Almost every ghost tour I do.
Every ghost tour we do.
Every time you get a skeptic in Emma, and they almost always change their mind.
And they almost
or at least go, yeah, I can't answer the question, but I can say that I don't know.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and when you mention you're one of the most haunted hotels in the United States, like that's like a USA Today. Like you're in the top 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like just some obscure little publication nobody's heard of.
Like, right, yeah.
Like you made a really impressive list.
And that's why when I stepped into this position, I didn't understand why they didn't market it as that. And now that we are doing it, we went from doing only ghost tours in October to doing ghost tours every single week.
Sometimes every single day.
Sometimes multiple times a day. Yeah.
Well,
and we just want people to experience this because it is
legit.
Such, like, sitting in this room right now, the hair on my head is standing up. I have multiple times the hair on my arms. Like, there's just this feeling.
All of our devices have been going off the entire time.
The entire time. It has not stopped.
Yeah.
You were saying, Heather, you were talking about seeing a miner, because this was a mining town. And so a lot of miners stayed in the hotel.
Oh, there's a very specific story about the miners.
Yeah, for sure. But there's this guy. So when I worked here years ago, I worked here when I was in my 20s. And I worked at the bar, and the bar is on the, I would work at both bars. There was one downstairs and one upstairs on the main floor. And it would be we had machines, like the whole floor was a casino floor. Like today it's completely different than it was back then.
Casino machine.
And I had people that would come in specifically every day after work, and they would play their favorite casino machine, you know, and they basically, they would be facing a wall beside the stairwell. And it was super funny to be standing back behind the bar and watch these people who are sitting there playing keno, and they're intent on their machine. They are, this is something they do every day after work. They spend a good hour playing keno on their machine and stuff like that. And it would be funny because you would see these two, three people that were all sitting in the same place, intently looking at that screen. And they'd all at one time, like, look up to the right at the stairwell, and they didn't notice that they were all doing it at the same time, but I would notice it as from behind them. Yeah. and watching my customers what they're doing, you know, and they would all always like look up like you saw something out of your peripheral, you know, like look and then double take and then go back to their machine, and they didn't notice all of this going on, but as somebody standing back there paying attention to my customers, I would see it all the time, and I just started to laugh. I couldn't help it. It would be like funny to me to see everybody look. And then I actually saw the guy up above in that stairwell, and he would look around the corner like he was looking for somebody he was waiting for, you know? And it was really funny to have these people, and they weren't there for anything other than that machine that they liked to play.
And they probably just saw, they didn't even, if they saw anybody, they just thought it's a guy who just looked down here looking for somebody.
Or they just did, you know, what did I, oh, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I just guess I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And what was funny is many, many years later is my niece was here, and they came over to the house in the morning when they had stayed the night here. And she says, I don't know why my mother made me stay at that stupid hotel. She says, it's all haunted and scary and everything. She says, and then mom says, oh, ghosts aren't real. She says, and then we were leaving. I turned around, took a picture of that stairwell. And do you see what I see? And there's this smoky cowboy miner looking guy standing there. I said, yes. And I see him too, even when I've been in the hotel. She's like, see, I told you. I don't know why we had to stay at the stupid haunted motel. She definitely got a picture of what was playing.
Wow.
Now.
Yeah, my cowboy hat.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesse, yeah, have you seen any apparitions, or have you felt them more?
I've felt them, but I've had people who have said that they've seen the same cowboy, the same guy with the cowboy hat multiple times. I've heard of people seeing the same guy sometimes sitting at the bar.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, like or kitchen, like in or the stairs. Yeah, heard all that many, many times.
It's so funny because each one of us tour guides have, like, some people see things, some people feel things, some have a combination of both. And I saw my first apparition with that last YouTube, the one that I took to Goldfield.
Oh, right.
And it was like 2:30 in the morning, and somebody walked by one of the hallways downstairs, and I literally was like, hi, like it was an employee, and it was 2:30. There's no employees here at that time.
And then you think it may be.
That was the first time I physically saw someone in the hotel that shouldn't have been there.
Because, you know, you kind of say, well, maybe somebody came back, maybe, and you try to rationalize it in your brain. And it's like, okay, there was nobody there.
Yeah. There was nobody there.
There's literally.
I always second guess myself. Yeah. I see stuff out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, my mind's just tripping.
Yeah.
But I always second guess myself.
Always.
So. And
that's where I try to tell people I'm not a skeptic because I have experienced so many different cases, but I'm a realist. I accept the reality that, you know, there are things that, you know, you randomly see out of the corner of your eye that are not there. But then when you realize that those things are actually, well, they were really there, and you start realizing and seeing different things and knowing.
Yeah, when you feel it.
Or you hear or see blatantly something was doing something, you know. And one of the things I used to see when I was bartending in the lower bar was they had a Keno board that was on the wall, and the Keno board was, I literally saw had the maintenance man show me the power. the power was turned off to that Keno board, you know, and it would light up, and not like we were playing a Keno game, but like it was trying to tell me to go to the fifth floor. It would tell me a room number on the fifth floor. Usually it was like 512. And I always said, that's the lady in red. She wants me to come up and talk to her. She wants me to communicate with her. And I still believe that that's what she was doing. And when a man would come around the corner where he could see that Keno board, she would turn it dark. It would be, there would be no numbers lit up at all. And when he would get out of sight again, she would light it up again, and vice versa. And it was crazy to watch because I could see both.
It happening in real life.
Yeah, and it was super crazy to watch.
And the thing is we don't, I don't even know if we have that Keno board anymore.
I know, I don't even know.
I know, supposedly they say it's in storage or somewhere downstairs. And I'm like, that is one of our main sources of fun, paranormal. For the hotel, and you guys took it away. Like, where is it?
It was a trip, though. It was pretty trippy. But I had many different things like that to me that were definitely indicating to come see her.
Yeah. So when you say that, you know, she's putting her number up there, which is really strange because it's not plugged in. There should be no lights on this, let alone you seeing her room number. And that maybe she wants to talk. Do you feel like there's a connection with you and her, or do any of you feel that?
I think that, well, for one, I'm not married, and I was not married then. And I think that she wanted to communicate something to me.
Yeah.
And I tried to go sit up on the fifth floor a couple times, and then I was younger, so I was more nervous about those things. No, I was definitely over 21 because of serving beer and alcohol in general, I'd get too nervous and I'd leave again because I was like, what did she want from me? And now I'm a little bit more, I'm more accepting of those things because of the fact that, you know, you can't deny it, as well as I've had so many different other experiences that I'm like, it was, you know, I didn't embrace it enough then.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people who work in a location that is very active, and they feel like they kind of have a relationship with the spirits, kind of a respect and a, like the way you call her Miss Rose.
Oh, so we have Walter, who is our elevator ghost. He was the elevator operator in 1916. We don't know when he died, where he died, why he chose to come back to us. He is most prevalent in the elevator, and he will take you wherever he wants to go, especially if you disrespect him. I have been in the elevator with another employee and somebody who doesn't believe or doesn't care, and they have disrespected Walter, and he took us up to the fifth floor and just stopped the elevator, and we were there for 15 minutes in the elevator, not moving, no doors opening. And then I'm like, I'm pleading with Walter the whole time. Like, I'm so sorry that he said these things and was rude, but I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Can you please take us to where we initially wanted to go? So yes, they form a relationship. We form a relationship.
So, on the Walter side of that, though, I had but the very first time. So I got together with Siobhan. We met, and we decided that I was going to start doing some tours. And she did took me on her tours and stuff like that and shit. And
Heather taught us so much more than we ever anticipated of learning about this hotel, because she knows the history more than any of us, because we are transplants here in Tonopah. We, half of us were not born and raised here.
And it's the very first time I'm on a tour, just me, and I'm going to take them to the basement to start. I get in the elevator, you use the key to turn to go to the basement. So I have to use the key to go there. I turn the key, hit the B button for the basement, and Walter took me to the second floor. I'm like, this is not Walter, please stop.
Please take me where I want to go.
Can we go to the basement, please? You didn't have to have a key to go to the rest of the rooms. I mean, come on, you know? And so it was pretty funny. But yeah, no, and Walter is pretty funny. But again, there was a special license you had to have. That was a special license in general.
A special job.
It was a special job. It's one thing to be a mine hoist, you're raising, lowering dirt all day. But when you're actually only moving people, that was a special license. You had to have a class. Even back then, it was a deal, you know?
And we have his picture with his license mounted in the elevator.
Yeah.
In the hotel. So he is very special to us.
I always tell people to say thank you to him. And
always.
You know,
every time we get into the hotel or into the elevator, we'll press our button to the floor that we need to go to. And then he'll pause and won't shut the doors. And I'm like, Walter, can you please shut the doors? Like, do I have to press the button to shut the doors? Or can you just shut the doors? And 90% of the time, he'll just shut the door before you press the button.
That's so crazy, because I stayed in a hotel once in Des Moines, and that we had an elevator operator ghost. And that's so funny, because this sounds so familiar, but it was so funny because he took us to the right floors, but every time we walked up to the elevator, whether it was on our floor or the main floor, my sister and I would walk up and the doors would just open. And so I asked the people at the front desk, I said, okay, this is going to sound really crazy because this is an old hotel and I know you're doing some renovations, but is there some kind of sensor on this elevator door? And she goes, what do you mean? And I go, it opens. We just walk up and it magically opens. And she's like, yeah, it does. And because they had an elevator operator ghost.
When I worked here in my 20s, they had the main floor, they had a vault that was turned into the casino cage or whatever, where you cashed in. Back then you still cash out coin and stuff like that. But I would work at the bar and or at the casino floor in the cage and things like that. But the people that would come off the elevator and come over to the cage and say, wow, that's an amazing hologram in that elevator. And I'm like, hologram? I don't think there's ever been a hologram ever in my life. You know? And I'm like,
what do you think hologram? We are?
They're like, that lady that's standing in that elevator, she's beautiful. And wow, how do you guys do that? I'm like, there is not a hologram in that elevator. I'm sorry, but there has just never been a hologram anywhere in this town. But
we're not that fancy.
We're so not that fancy. We totally don't have a hologram.
But you know, when that happens and you don't know how else to explain it, it's like, obviously it's a hologram. But then why would they have a hologram of a woman in an elevator? That makes no sense.
But it's just weird.
Now, I was reading that you guys do have a guest book where people write stories in it or share experience. Well, I think that is such a good idea.
We have one that was started, I want to say, early 2015. And it looks old. It feels old. It's amazing. People handwritten.
There's pictures.
It's amazing. And then we now have, I hate them, but we have this book that people write in. It doesn't have the same feel. It's not something that I wanted, but it is what it is.
But it is a good place for people to actually document what they experienced or what they didn't experience. Or what some people write down, this is all fake. When nobody believes a ghost because this is, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fun to put them into a book. Just have all of them.
So God, I want to say 6 months ago, they asked me to go through the old book and pick out the best stories, my favorite stories, and send them to our marketing team, like our professional social media people. And I did so, and nothing came of it.
It's a great idea.
So I feel like we're going to have to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You can do it. Now, since we're recording this in September, I'm going to guess October is a pretty busy month for the Mizpah, especially with its reputation. Do you get a lot of reservations in October closer to Halloween?
For ghost tours, yes. We actually have another paranormal group coming. I'm not sure of their name. They're a smaller group, but they're coming. They want to do a two-hour tour with Heather just on history. And then later on in the evening, we're all going to come down and take them on a paranormal tour, which you can book a paranormal tour at any time of the night. It just depends on your liking. And we all show up at that time and we all have a good time.
Which I thought was a cool option, because when I was looking at your website, it wasn't just like you have the ghosted package. Mm-hmm. Private ghost tour, and then the one you were talking about that you could do at any time during the night. So if they want to do one like at 2 a.m.
I have been in this hotel from midnight to 4 a.m. on a paranormal tour before. It's a long time, but it's so worth it, because that early in the morning is very active because everything else is quiet.
Mm-hmm. But there is one picture, and here I have to ask you about, because it's by the ghosted package information.
Oh, that's the seance room.
Okay, because it's like a table with these old chairs, and it looks like it's in a cellar, kind of half dirt cellar maybe.
That's part of our basement that's on our tour. We call that the seance room because people used to go downstairs and do seances and Ouija boards and crazy stuff that we would never allow now, knowing.
I could not imagine doing that in this particular area.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Absolutely not. But yes, that was originally Main Street.
Oh,
accessed by Main Street. And then they moved Main Street up and they built the tunnels. And
so there's 500 miles of tunnels throughout Undertone, apart from the mining.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I bet.
So they have a tenant. They were able to access parts of those tunnels under different businesses, including the Mizpah. But what they generally use them for is to go places they didn't necessarily want to be seen going to, like specifically maybe other brothels. Didn't want, say, somebody to snitch on them to their wife, and or if they're fairly prominent in the community, they didn't want to be seen going to a house of ill repute, you know, and discredited in any way because of that. But yet they wanted to sneak down in the tunnels to do so. There is several locations that these tunnels could come up at, including barbershops and or bars. But the Mizpah was one place you could go in and out and stuff like that. So besides having any of those seances or what have you, or trickery of any kind, whether it be legit or not, they also had locations where people could sneak about. So when you're talking about sneaking about for whatever reasons, you know.
But they did a good job of reinforcing them. If after all these years, the tunnels are still tunnels and nothing's falling in.
Collapsed and kill a lot of people way back when, which is very sad, and that's why we are so haunted in Tonopah.
You get, when you've realized that, so like silver, gold, copper, lead all run in quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz is a conductor, so are all of those heavy metals. So even in your computer, like we're talking on a laptop now, you have a cell phone in your hand, all of those have some amount of gold in there because they are conductors. Copper, silver, gold, and lead all have conducting properties. If you even go back to World War II and they had quartz radios. So they would wrap a copper wire around a piece of quartz. Literally, that was a quartz. You could make that into a quartz radio and communicate and have So it's a conductor. So now you have all that conducting properties that you're, that we're living on, that we're sitting on, that we're mm-hmm. all in, ball, you can't get away from, you can sit on it all day. As well as the energy of maybe you came here broke and destitute, whatever, and you made a lot of money. Let's say you came here really wealthy and you lost a lot of money. Or let's say you came here wealthy and got a lot more money, became really greedy and a jerk about it, you know, who knows? But all of those things came and went, and a lot of energy was put into all of that. And then there's hard rock mining of that that has been moved about and has been vital to the up and down of this town in general. All of that energy comes together. You can't tell me that you're going to stop all that energy and it's just going to go away.
Right.
You can't stop the energy. And what I've discovered over my years of doing different paranormal things, et cetera, I feel like a lot of times that so many people are like, well, I wish they would move on and stuff. Well, it's not always about that, in my opinion. It's about what the main things you were concerned with in your life, whether they would be happy or sad or good or bad or up and down, the things you most concerned your life with and you put your energy towards is where your energy can end up being. And I try to keep my energy focused on, I'm going on vacation, so that hopefully I can go on vacation when I die.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go sit on the beach somewhere. I don't know where. And I want to go to a different beach all the time.
I mean, and why not? Yes. Why couldn't you?
But I mean, seriously, though, when you think about it, you have something you worry about constantly, like this specific thing, that might be where you end up.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say that, because I'm going to be here.
You're going to be in the next one.
You and Miss Rose?
Yeah. She'll be tricking things out up here.
On a quick side note, this doesn't have really anything to do with you, but when I was reading about the Mizpah Hotel, looking at Tonopah, that's the same town as that creepy ass clown motel, is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes. And that motel is not haunted. I am going to fight to my death.
It is
for this.
It is creepy because of the clowns.
Oh,
the cemetery right next door is completely haunted.
Okay.
100%. The hotel, I have never had somebody tell me they've had an actual experience in that hotel. It's just creepy and it gives you weird vibes.
Because
I can say that the reason they believe it's haunted is because at one time when they did have a major flood, that some of the graves ended up
floating,
washed away or floating or whatever. And then they didn't properly replace them, et cetera. And then when they built the hotel, supposedly it's on part of the old cemetery. However, everybody I know that's done any kind of investigating at that cemetery has received at least one, if not several, communications with a ghost there that said, well, yeah, let's go up to the Mizpah. And they go back and forth between the Mizpah and that cemetery. And it is a thing that we believe that they travel back and forth because they're up here going to have a drink real fast or whatever. It's pretty crazy, actually.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But the hotel, the little motel, I don't know. But I can tell you one of the creepiest clown collections you'll ever see in your life.
Oh, that's what creeps me out. And I'm
creepy.
I know people who are deathly afraid of clowns, and I'm not one of them, but at the same time, they're a little creepy. And
hey,
some of those
get
older
in a room
looking
of that many of them, it's just freaking weird, man.
They did a remodel and they painted life-size murals, bigger than life-size murals, of very famous clowns in history.
on
the wall, mostly scary clowns like Pennywise.
Exactly. But even Bozo
Absolutely
the Clown's
not.
Freaky looking, you know, now. Yeah.
It's
like
it's
all
an
these
amazing
clowns.
Place in town.
It is.
And it draws a lot of people.
I bet
it
does.
We love that for them. But
I have seen some video of the one really large clown he has in his lobby, literally moving its hand. And I think that it is possessed or whatever. But because it looks like the kind that could be, it looks like a scary ass clown. And it's creepy as hell. But I've seen video of people that I know that are legitimate, not faking video people. And literally the clown's hand moved. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is pretty creepy.
That's enough to keep me out of there.
And I'm not scared of clowns, and I don't have a problem going to that lobby, but I can tell you that beside a cemetery like that might freak me out. A friend of mine, when she moved here, before I knew her or whatever, she had two cattle dogs that she had, three cattle dogs, I'm sorry, and her and her husband were staying there for a temporary living when they first moved here. And she had a dog, one of her dogs was deaf, completely deaf. You had to, she had to be looking at you for her to understand what was going on. And she could understand if she was looking at you. But in the middle of the night, the deaf dog would get up in the middle of the night and go over to the corner of the room and start barking incessantly. Just, let me get at that. And they never could figure out what it was. But the one time she escaped from the room without their permission or whatever and took off straight to the cemetery and was barking at the cemetery.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's pretty weird. Absolutely not. Yeah, no, that's when I would have moved out. But that's just me.
I just stayed at the Mizpah and then been like, man, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I need a break. Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. And you can get information about the Mizpah at the website, themizpahhotel.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes. But this was such a fun conversation, you guys. And yes, how did the activity end up? And any more interesting activity in the room?
Oh, the REM pod's been going off. All of it. It's just been nonstop.
It's funny though, that the times that the REM pod goes off while we're having a conversation of a certain subject and it's blatantly answering that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and like different things. It's funny because we've been sitting here giggling at each other silently, like, we point at
or the like, look at my phone.
Willie's passing the phone over, look at this thing. And it's been pretty funny for us to just sit on this side.
That's
it
fun.
Just said hellhound. That was your story about the dog.
Oh. Right. Yeah. Well, and so tell Miss Rose I said thank you for her time tonight.
Oh, she definitely did. She definitely made some answers during this conversation I was noticing when we were talking about it, the thing would beep and I'm like, we'd look at each other again.
Yeah, it's confirmation.
Confirmation.
Yeah. That's so cool.
And then I'm like, yes, I am.
Yes. I'm here and I'm present and I would like my voice heard.
Yes, I want to be heard about this. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You guys were awesome. This was really fun tonight.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah,
I liked it.
It was.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Mizpah Hotel. For more information, visit their website at themizpahhotel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.